Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably... You know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am smart. I am smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're here. Michelle Goodman is here, too, ladies and gentlemen. I'm glad she's here, too. She's a friend of ours, member of our Brain Trust. She is the author of the Anti-9-to-5 Guide, and her new book is called My So-Called Freelance Life, and she is a freelancer. She's a professional freelancer, escaped from the cubicle, as she says, in 1992, and she's here to talk to us about this whole aspect of the marketplace. And it's actually... You know, it's actually called, some of them are called freelancers, but there are other names, too, and we're going to talk about that, too. Michelle, welcome back to the show.
Hi, good morning, and thanks for having me here.
It's good to have you back, as always.
So
there are tens of millions of freelancers, independent contractors, and see, I consider all of them to be small business owners.
I do, too.
They don't always consider themselves to be small business owners because at the moment of the birth of their freelanceship or their independent contractorship, at that moment, their goal is just to feed themselves.
Yep, and they may just think, oh, this is great. I'm getting paid to do, you know, this skill or talent that I have. But,
right.
You know, the other 50% of it is... contracts, negotiating
right.
deals, negotiating
and not,
rates.
Not having 8 hours of work every day to get paid for. But, you know, I was, as I've mentioned many times on the show over the last 11 plus years, I was downsized twice in the 80s through no fault of my own. I'd been a good employee for 23 years.
Right.
And I was downsized twice. And so the second time I said, you know what? I don't need any help screwing up my life. I can do that by myself. and so I started my own business in 89, and I'm still doing it. And,
yeah.
At that moment, I was essentially a freelancer.
Yeah. I'm actually writing an article about that right now, the accidental freelancer. I mean, because a lot of people are finding themselves in that position now because, you know, they're laid off, and it's often, right now, it's easier to get project-based freelance work or, you know, short-term temporary contracts or part-time jobs. Then,
isn't it ironic, though, Michelle, that the circumstances that creates all these freelancers simultaneously, basically by definition almost, creates freelance opportunities?
Yeah.
Tell us
about
that. It
is ironic. And it's ironic that in, you know, good economic times, everyone says, oh, gosh, I'd love to be a freelance project manager or a freelance bookkeeper or a freelance writer. But, you know, it's obviously easier to get into that when you're prepared for it and you save and you plan and you network and you market, you know,
and then
the
never, but then never do it.
Yeah.
Sometimes it takes a kick in the pants, like I had
Sometimes
to have.
Sometimes it does. I mean, that is one advantage of being thrown into the self-employment pool, you know, because of a layoff. I mean, suddenly you have all the time in the world, you know, the necessary time to look for the clients and the customers and the connections, whereas somebody who's trying to start it on the side, you know, they've got to do it early in the morning and, you know, work nights and weekends, and that can be a lot harder.
Well, I got the message at 8:30 on May the 21st, 1989, not that I remember the exact moment or anything, the last time, and I was at 8:30. At 8:35, I was designing my new business cards.
That's great.
And before lunch, I had printed them out. I actually owned a Macintosh and a laser printer, and one of the very early laser printers when they were like $100,000 a piece or something. Not that much, but it might
yeah.
as well have been. They were very expensive back in those days.
Right.
And so I literally by 8:30 I was designing my new business's cards, and before lunch I had printed them out on cards and had very meticulously cut them out with scissors because we didn't have perforated paper back in those days. At least I didn't have any. So I very meticulously cut out about 12 business cards. And before lunch, I was in my car, and I was out on the pavement with my new company, knocking on doors. Hi, I'm Jim. How do you like me so far?
Yeah.
And that was the only thing I could do to survive. I mean, I had to tell myself, hey, I'm not going to take this line down. I'm going to go for it.
Yeah. And now the web makes it so much easier. I mean,
yeah.
You know, you can order cards through the web for a song. You can put up a website
right.
in half an hour.
You can be networking online in seconds.
Yes.
You probably networking. Already have been, right?
Yes, definitely.
Most people.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many great social networking sites to choose from.
I want to ask you about some of that when we come back. We're going to blend in into this freelancing independent contractor thing, folks, which there are millions of you out there like this right now. We're going to talk about that and the social networking thing. How's that work? Stay with us. We'll be right back. Richie Valenzuela, ladies and gentlemen, also known as Richie Valens, one of the men that was the object of one of the subjects of the song, the Don McLean song, "The Day the Music Died." He and Buddy Holly and the Big Bopper all expired on the same day in that plane crash, and the world changed, especially the music world. Richie Valenzuela, one of my favorite songs from the Wayback Machine. 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you use it to your advantage because we built it just for you. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Check out my blog while you're there and my knowledge base and all kinds of stuff there. Lots and lots of information that'll help you with your small business. Michelle Goodman is there. She's deposited quite a bit of information with us over the years. She's the author of the Anti-9-to-5 Guide and My So-Called Freelance Life, which is brand spanking new. And we're talking about freelancing. We're talking about independent contractors, I should say, Michelle, because this is a time when you know, Michelle, in past recessions, a lot of people who got laid off would start a small business.
Right.
The startups. And they wouldn't necessarily be a freelance or independent contractor. It might actually be a retail store or something that was more of a storefront kind of a business.
Mm-hmm. Or a web business.
Exactly. But in those days, they could use their own personal credit to kind of capitalize that startup.
Right.
These days, this time around, a lot of that personal credit is not really there anymore.
Right.
It's one of the examples of where this situation is different from the past ones, and it makes me think that more people will be doing more freelancing, more independent contracting, where it doesn't take a lot of capital to get some revenue going. What do you think?
Yeah, it doesn't take a lot of overhead at all. I mean, most people would go into freelancing, selling a service or a skill that they already have, whether it's web design or, you know, being an administrative assistant or bookkeeping and
writing or consulting or whatever it might be.
Photography, and, you know, one would hope that they already have the equipment, but if not, you know, it's pretty easy to get a computer for a few hundred dollars these days.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it doesn't cost very much at all to put up a website, maybe $100 a year.
Well, and you're not going to you're not going to spend a lot of money on marketing because you're going to go out and knock on doors.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Jim. Stories. How do you like me so far?
Yeah, yeah. And there's so many great ways to do it online now, too. I mean, I don't recommend that people skip the face-to-face stuff because that's still a really important component, you know, meeting other self-employed professionals in your field and other fields. But, I mean, you can get on Twitter and start talking with people and
To us about, now see, that's one of the social media sites, Twitter.
Yeah.
It's kind of, they call it a microblog kind of a scenario. Tell us about, let's talk about this whole social media thing. You know, one of the things that I fear, Michelle, is that there are people who get on Twitter or Facebook or whatever, LinkedIn or whatever, and they
Facebook, I love that.
Well, I didn't mean to, but it's a good example.
Yes.
But maybe a Freudian slip there, Michelle. But the thing is that they get on those sites and they just visit their little backsides off, thinking. And I fear that some people might actually start doing this and spend the day almost on these sites thinking that they're going to get that they're going to be successful, that revenue is going to come from that activity, when it might, but that's not really the way to use them, is it?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's one piece of it, you know, and it's addictive, so, you know, because suddenly you're having these little conversations.
But you think but if everybody's saying social media is great, you think you're actually being productive, don't you?
I think most people realize that it's a big time suck, and, you know, it's good to set aside, you know, a certain points in the week when you're
right.
going to do it. You know, I'm going to go. I mean, it makes most sense to send your little whatever you're announcing or whatever
right.
you want to talk about on Twitter during business hours that
right.
most people are, you know, available. But, you know, maybe you just do it for 10 minutes over lunch, set a
right.
timer. It's
mm-hmm.
real easy for 45 minutes to go by. But, yeah, it's no substitute for face-to-face.
For shoe leather, elbow grease stuff.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah.
Because
you got to get out and go knock on doors. You got to target your prospects strategically, right? Not shotgun.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, professional associations are such a great resource. I mean, there are so many, and with so many personalities. And I know people who have never networked before think they have to put on a suit and a tie and
mm-hmm.
pearls or something, and it's like this horrible, cheesy.
Did you say pearls?
Yeah, well,
that's always worked for me, Michelle.
Yeah,
the pearls, especially with my slingbacks. That's always been a good thing for me. But so another thing that I think is important that freelancers is probably one of the toughest parts about freelancers, I think, and independent contractors, is coming up with a way to frame, to explain, to describe what they do that differentiates them and helps people to hire them. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, it's helpful to really spend some time. I think most people do, though, because, you know, it's your face that you're putting forward on your website, your little 3-4 paragraph definition of who you are and what you do, and most people will run that by, you know, a little committee of other freelancers, both in their
mm-hmm.
field or not in their field, or, you know, people that might, friends that are potential clients or, you know, are in the similar industry, how you can differentiate yourself. You know, most people actually get into this and realize they already have a niche. I mean, if you're an attorney who primarily works with authors and
right.
musicians and stuff, there's
right.
your niche right there.
Hold on to that thought, Gail. When we come
sure.
back, we're going to get some more good information out of Michelle. If you've been laid off, if you're a freelancer, if you're an independent contractor, if you're just trying to find out what your next move is, Gail can help us. And Sheila and I will be right back. It's 10 Till. Stay with us. Welcome back. It's 7 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, having a great visit with our good friend Michelle Goodman, author of My So-Called Freelance Life, brand spanking new book. Michelle, tell us where the book's available and how we can find you online.
Oh, the book is in just about any bookstore, and if it's not there, you can ask them to order it for you. And my website, and it's also online on Amazon and all the other online
right.
sellers, independent sellers. And my website is anti9to5guide.com.
All right. So check that out. Now, you got a blog there?
Yeah, that is my blog.
Okay, all right. So they can find out more about you there and check out her blog, ladies and gentlemen, especially. And, you know, this is good information, folks. If you've been laid off, if you're trying to figure out what to do, you're listening to this show because you're thinking, you know what, my closest opportunity is to have my own business, not necessarily look for another job.
Mm-hmm.
Gail's got some good information there. I encourage you to check it out. So, Gail, what are some other things, you know, and you know, everybody's not going to be a freelance writer. You know, a lot of people
right.
who are laid off are not going to be writers. They're not going to be computer programmers. That, you know, that ship has sailed for them.
Right.
They've got other skills. So how do we help them? How do we help people like that, you know, package themselves so that they can be deployed back into the marketplace for their own account? What do you think?
Well, so many different so many different office jobs are fall into, you know, anything that you can do not looking at someone face to face. I mean, most of us just sit in an office all day long and barely stick our heads out. and anything like that can be a freelance job. There's a whole army of virtual assistants now, and they do everything from administrative work, promotional work, web research, website optimization, social media.
How about nose around and find out what needs to be done, and keep looking until you find something you could do.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there are still people hiring people to walk their dogs, I mean, clean their houses, just about anything. I mean, obviously, everyone's cutting back depending on their different financial situation, but there are still people who hire folks to do just about any service you could think of for them.
Well, you know, when I was a consultant, when I started my consulting business, I had never been a classic professional consultant before, but I had been a consultant salesperson my whole life.
Oh, yeah.
I'd worked with all these different companies. I'd heard all the problems that they had. I just heard so much that I felt I had something to say, and so I started my business. And when I called on people, they said, "Well, what can you do to help me?" And I said, "What do you need to have done?"
Yeah, I mean,
one of my first assignments was to design a business card for somebody. I mean, you know, I'm 40 years old, and I've been a VP and a president of companies before, and I'm designing somebody's business card. You know what? I did it too.
Yeah, definitely. My first freelance job was to type somebody's graduate thesis paper.
Yeah.
But, that turned into editing. But, I mean, people need things proofread, and any time you're in a situation where you're repeatedly giving the same advice or you're teaching or tutoring, I mean, those are skills you can sell.
Well, or whatever you were doing at your other company, if they don't want to bring you back as an independent contractor to do that work, maybe you could go to another company and do that kind of work.
Yeah, maybe the competitors would, and your past employers and your friends, employers.
Because just because they laid somebody off doesn't mean that they don't need to have that work done.
Right. That's exactly right. I mean, most people, so many freelancers will get the word of mouth referrals is the main way to get the word. But so many of us, we work for past employers. They're now our clients.
Right.
It's such a great setup because they already know you and you know their culture, and they know they don't have to tell you anything. It's just you walk into the job and you start doing it right away.
And you know, Michelle, after I was downsized both of those times, it was catastrophic. I mean, it was really tough on me. But within a year and a half to 2 years, I went back to both of those guys and thanked them for doing that.
That's great.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you have to realize that your life is what you make of it. You can't depend on anybody else. And job security in the 21st century and the late 20th century is a myth.
Yeah. And I mean, just right now, to be a freelancer, you have to really... Freelancers like me, and not just writers, but designers, people that have been doing this for 10 or 15 years, I mean, we're diversifying now. We're diversifying the types, the size of clients we work for, and the industries we work for, and the technologies, because
Gail, I gotta wrap,
so uncertain.
I got to wrap it up. Thanks, you.
Okay.
Thank you for being here. The book is called, her new book is My So-Called Freelance Life. Thanks, Gail. See you next time. I mean Michelle. Goodman, ladies and gentlemen. Michelle Goodman. I got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.